The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Oh, that's morning coffee right there. George Brockler with you on the George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. Who made this, Toronto? Because this is Army quality coffee. That is not a compliment. Come on, Mark. This stuff is good. I could stand a spoon up in this stuff. There is. Man, that caffeine, I'm going to be awake for a month. I just got done talking about the sleeping thing. Hey, what you cannot fall asleep on is what's going to take place between now and really about 11 months from now, if you can believe it. We will have had a whole host of elections for all sorts of important races, from governor to attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, U.S. Senate, and a whole host of congressional seats, including the brand new 8th Congressional District, all drawn by our, I don't know, tripartisan, if that's what you want to call it, election or redistricting commission. And they have drawn one of the most competitive seats imaginable right here in the state of Colorado. If you look at the other seats that have current occupants, all of those occupants, those incumbents, enjoy a benefit in terms of voter registration. Not true for the 8th Congressional District, which is brand new, and it is going to be fought over. And I am pleased as punch to have someone online who has thrown her hat into the ring and intends to win this thing. Jan Coleman, how are you? You are on 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Jan, I know that everybody up north in the metro area and maybe beyond knows who you are. But for those listeners out there, maybe as far west as the Jeffco area down south where I am in Parker and Douglas County and Highlands Ranch and all that, who haven't had the chance to see you lead in office, give us your background.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully people get to know me pretty soon, because this seat is one of the most important that we're going to see across the country. So I'm actually an engineer. I have been working in the energy industry for over 22 years. I'm actually electrical, so a little bit of awkwardness that goes with that.
Right.
But
well,
hold on.
What's the awkwardness, Jan? Tell us.
I'm electrical engineer. I mean, it's a total geeky side of engineering, but it's also the most fun.
What drove you into that? Like, you're coming out of high school. By the way, where was high school?
Mississippi, actually, and then college in Louisiana and graduate school in Colorado.
So, and where'd you go for graduate school in Colorado?
CSU.
I've heard of CSU. I have every hope that they will be accredited soon. I'm a CU Buffs guy. CU Go Buffs. But I'm certain that CSU at some point is going to move from junior college to full-fledged university. I'm anxious for that. Having said that, you chose engineering. Why? What was your dream at the time? Like, before you got called to do public service, what did you think you would end up doing?
You know, all engineers love problem solving. So every time there was a problem, I wanted to figure out a way to solve it. And engineering is the way to practically solve problems and bring solutions that actually matter to people.
And have you been, did you do that up until the time you decided, you know what, I got to do something public here?
I'm still doing it. I am working for Whiting Petroleum in oil and gas. I'm the director of well construction. So I do drilling, completion, facilities, engineering, and construction. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
What drove you into public service and when? Like, when did you decide, I'm so tired of just being a productive taxpaying member of society, I want to actually do something?
Well, like many parents, I have two children, a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old, and they are really the ones that drove me into politics. My son, when he was going into first grade, we were trying to figure out what we could do about school for him, because he's a challenge. He has a learning disability, but he's also extremely sharp. And so we were trying to figure out, what do we do for him for school? And we found a charter school in Thornton that we loved. And so I wanted to get involved in the charter school, and I didn't have time to volunteer in the classroom, being a full-time working mom. So I ran for the school board, and I won, and I became the president right off the bat. So I took that school from a K-8 to a K-12 and built a new $52 million campus to go with
Holy
it.
Holy smokes.
Because I knew how important it was for other families to have that same opportunity.
What school is that?
The Stargate Charter School. It's on 144th in Washington.
Charter school. I'm a big charter school fan and parent. All four of our kids went through charter school through fifth grade and then on to the neighborhood schools for the other stuff. So I'm a big fan of that. Did that kind of whet your palate for the kind of things you might be able to do in office?
It did, absolutely. And one of the things you learn when you start getting involved is how many more opportunities there are to make a real difference. So while I was doing that, I actually decided to run for the Thornton City Council. So that was in 2013. So it's one of those things where as an engineer, you learn how to problem solve. And so I did it for the school, and then I had the opportunity to do it for the community. And then the crazy stuff started happening, because you remember 2015 is when the energy wars started happening
yes.
in Colorado.
Yep, I do.
So the activists found out that I was on city council, not that it was a secret or surprise. I actually talked to everybody about it, but decided that I needed to be recalled from the council for the sole reason that I worked in the energy industry.
Well, obviously, so as you know, that's a horrible thing for you to have dared to try to increase energy availability at a cost level that even people in the lower economic areas can afford. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be forcing everybody into solar and wind, Jan. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Well, I'm in all of the above, so I love solar and wind, but I love oil and gas, too.
Yeah, me too. And so they tried to recall you in 2015, probably not successful.
It was not. I spent a lot of time talking to people, knocking on doors, working through what the actual issues were. And the interesting thing about an engineer is when there's a problem, when there's a challenge, we have the chance to solve it. So I was able to figure out what those issues were and actually helped rewrite regulations in the city to make sure that the community felt safer, because they needed me on the council. I am the one that could make those really positive changes to address their concerns.
Now, tell us a little bit about the city council from this perspective. Most of these city council races, if not all of them that I'm aware of, are nonpartisan. Like, you don't run as an R, a D, or a U, you just run. Your estimation of, one, tell us the size of the Thornton City Council, but what the breakdown was when you served in terms of people who would describe themselves as, and maybe they were registered, I don't know, but describe themselves as conservatives or liberals or progressives or whatever the terms are.
Well, I think you've probably seen this over the years. The nonpartisan races are no longer nonpartisan.
That's right.
We may run without a letter after our names, but it absolutely is a partisan race, and it's becoming that way more and more. When I started in 2013, there were only two Republicans on the council. And so over time, I've been working with my council to figure out how do we come together and solve problems where it doesn't matter what the party background is. But I've also recognized that the community was looking for something with a little bit more conservative background. You know, the things that we deal with every day around the economy, making sure that we have traffic flow, construction is happening. Those are all conservative issues. And so over the last few years, I've been working with getting candidates to run that have more conservative value. And we actually now are a 5-4 split of a 9-member council.
Unbelievable.
So it's been a lot of hard work.
What possessed you to want to say, you know what, city council's great, but I'd rather be mayor?
Knocking on doors. That's absolutely it. So, you know, after the recall, I have a tendency to get a little stubborn. When people tell me I can't do something, I'm going to prove them wrong every single time. And so I actually ran for reelection in 2017, which was a really hard race. The Sierra Club got involved, decided I was their target for the year.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was crazy. And so I'm used to fighting the left and the crazy lies that come out of the left. And so I did the same thing as I did during the recall, just talked to people, listened, and actually voted the way I said I was going to vote. And I won that race by 41 votes.
Oh, wow. That's a close one.
Very close. You know, every vote counts. It's absolutely true. And so 2 years later, when I decided to run for mayor, it was for all the same reasons. What can I do to make a difference? What values can I bring? And I've always told the truth, and I've always stuck to my guns. And so that when I ran for mayor, that's what I did. And again, talking to people, knocking on doors, listening, and doing what I said I was going to do. And I won that race with 42% of the vote in a 5-way race.
Now, what would
obviously what I'm doing is working.
Yeah, what would compel you, though, after that kind of success at the local level? And that is the local level. I don't know what's below that.
Absolutely.
But what would possess you to then say, I see the most competitive district, if not in the country, obviously in Colorado, but it's got to be one of the most competitive in the country. I feel like I should take that challenge on. Why do that?
It's a great question, because you have to be a little bit on the crazy side, but you also have to care a whole lot about your community. So this last election cycle, I was not up for election, but I was helping city council members run. And what I heard at the door was this feeling of betrayal. That inflation's at the highest it's ever been, that there's all these millions of dollars being thrown, trillions of dollars being thrown at the community almost to buy votes, and people are not feeling like they're being told the truth anymore. And when this seat came open, you're looking at this opportunity of representing two very diverse areas between Adams County and Weld County, And I've had a track record in Adams of listening and doing what's right for my community. And I've been working in Weld County in oil and gas for the last 15 years. And so to me, I felt this powerful pull to be the next person to run and be the first congresswoman for the 8th district, because I'm the one that can take those betrayals and actually make a difference in Washington. I can use those engineering skills and those mom skills and make a difference.
For those people who are listening to 710 KNUS right now who aren't familiar with it, describe for us the 8th Congressional District as it's drawn.
So it includes Adams County, Weld County, and a little bit of Larimer County. And so on the surface, it looks pretty red because you look at the north side and Weld tends to lean to the red. But Adams actually is pretty blue, and it's been changing over the last few years. And so what's going to be really incredible about this one is it is a swing district. It went for Trump in 2016 and it went for Biden in 2020. And so it's going to require someone who knows how to work with everybody. It doesn't matter your background, but also who's willing to stand up and fight. It's going to be an important race, probably one of the most important races in the country, in order to make sure that Nancy Pelosi and her team are not going to be able to continue to push these horrible policies on the American people.
Now, Jan, I have had Barb Kirkmeyer on here, a commissioner, now state senator out of Weld County. And I think Lori Sane is in the race. Who else is vying for the Republican nomination that you know of for this seat?
I believe there's two others running that are kind of newcomers to it as well. I don't know them very well. I know Barb and Lori very well. I've gotten to work with them and in their role when they were both commissioners. And, you know, I love both of them. They're great.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know this. You're not doing this right. The Republican Party is supposed to be just white males, and yet we seem to have an abundance of women who have not only already been successful in leadership, but are looking to take on this role. Have you guys gotten together to talk about the fact that you're violating all of the stereotypes? You're not supposed to do that.
You know what? I think I work in the oil and gas industry. I've been told the same thing.
There you go. You've been fighting this.
That's
right. That's right. You've been fighting the stereotypes your whole career. Let me ask you this then, the next step. Let's presuppose we get to June, you win the primary. How do you win the general? How do you defeat whoever and I don't know who they have running for this, but how do you defeat the Democrats?
I think I have to follow the same strategy that I followed as mayor. I have to listen, I have to talk to people, and I have to show them in what I've done as mayor that I do what I say I'm going to do. And engineers solve problems, moms solve problems, and this seat requires someone who can solve problems.
How about this? You win, you go to Congress. I'm going to presume, just based off of history and what we're seeing right now in terms of polling, not just the generic ballot, but even more specific polling, that the Republicans are going to take back the House of Representatives. Whether they take back the Senate or not, open question. They're not going to take back the presidency before 2024. So the big question I would ask of anyone, not just you running for Congress, is so what? So you win. So what? What difference do you want to make in the short term versus the long term going to the House? How does this help Colorado putting a Republican, and specifically you, in this position? And I'd ask the same question of Lauren Boebert and of anybody else in office, Ken Buck. Like, so what? Like, what's the difference to the voter out there?
I think what I've shown in my history is that I have fought for years by being honest, listening to the people, and doing what I say I'm going to do. And so that means making sure that these issues with inflation based on this crazy $1 trillion spending that's happening at Washington, making sure that people feel safe in their homes by supporting our military and supporting our police departments, and ensuring that the quality of life that we as Americans deserve comes back to where it was before the crazy policies got into place. My vote will be the one to make sure that Pelosi and her team are no longer in charge and that we have a path forward that actually brings back the American dream.
You have decided to take this on. You've talked about the inflation part. Are there things that you consider to be low-hanging fruit out there that Congress can do quickly to make a difference? Not that it'll be successful given who's in charge of the White House, but what's the low-hanging fruit out there where Congress can either do better or do less damage?
I think the first thing we have to do is stop the incredible spending. We don't print money. That's not how the economy works. And anybody with an economics 101 class knows that for a fact. You spend trillions of dollars, everybody's pocketbook is going to be impacted. And that's the first thing that has to happen, is stopping the spend, because throwing money at a problem is not a solution. It's a Band-Aid, and it doesn't have anything other than long-term consequences that'll make things worse.
What about, you know, this is near and dear to your heart, right? And that's energy. What can be done about our energy at the national level? We've already seen some of the struggles we're going through locally as Governor Polis and all of his appointees start making it nearly impossible to get new permitting and all that stuff. What can be done at the congressional level to make a difference?
I think a lot of the policies around federal lands is one that we have to look at. When I look at how much energy is coming into the country versus how much is leaving, we're at this weird impasse now where we're taking money from countries that do not have America's interests at heart. We have air regulations in Colorado and across the country that give us the cleanest energy in the world. So if we want to stand up and say we are doing the right thing, we should be getting energy from the United States. We should be setting that example for the rest of the world.
I'm going to ask you about two topics that are constantly in the news over the past 18 plus months. And you're going to be asked this by the mainstream media. I guess I'm not part of the mainstream media. Nonetheless, I'm going to ask you ahead of time just to, and I've asked everybody this that's been on. One, was the 2020 election stolen? Where do you come down on that? And two, vaccine and mask mandates. Where do you come down on those?
Well, we start with the election. So I'm knocking on doors for the last few months. What I heard was that there's a real fear that people feel like their vote's not going to count. And so what I've encouraged people to do is if you don't vote, your vote doesn't count. And so we can worry about policies that make sure that election integrity is the foremost important thing that we have, because I want to make it as easy to vote as possible, but as hard to cheat as possible.
I love that. I love that. But if I'm Marshall Zelliger, I'm going to push you and say, in your opinion, was the 2020 election stolen?
I think Biden is the president, and what's unfortunate is he's a horrible president. And so we have an opportunity in 22 to take back the House, and we have an opportunity in 24 to take back the White House.
That feels like either a yes or a no. I don't know how to interpret that, Janet. And I don't, and I'm not trying to push too hard here, but I want to be clear. No other show you go on, like on the TV, will stop at just that. Those are all great answers. And by the way, they're consistent with what I hear from a lot of people. But this is my own little advice as a guy who lost a statewide race. At some point, there's just going to end up being a yes or a no push to get there, and then it'll get spun a different way. Let me ask you the other one. Where are you on the mask and the vaccine mandates?
I am absolutely against vaccine mandates. I'm pro-vaccine. I actually got the vaccine, and I think it's a good thing. But I don't think that you should force that on anyone for any reason. On the mask side, I think we've gone too far for too long. Masks were great when we had no other opportunity. Now that we have ways of dealing with this virus in a different way, masks are just another level of control. And I think we need to figure out a way to live with this virus instead of just hiding from it.
Jen, give us 30 seconds on your final pitch and make sure you tell people how they can go online and find out about you and help you out.
For sure. Again, thanks for having me today. You know, this seat is one of the most important in the country right now. It will be the most important for Colorado. And the work that I've done as an engineer and a mayor and a mom is what makes me the one for this seat. And so if you want to reach out to me or you want to learn more about my campaign, you can go to www.janforcolorado.com. That's JANFORColorado.com.
Jan, thank you so much. Good luck to you. I hope we can have you back on as this campaign continues.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Good luck to you. Hey, when we come back, I want to get to your calls. I'd love to talk about Jan. Love to talk about the 8th. Love to talk about the politics or even some of the stuff Peter and I touched on. You give us a call at 303-696-1971. Until that time, George Brockler, 710. KNUS. Little A and C Rooster on the George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. Thanks to Jan Coleman for calling in and having that great conversation with us. I love it when people who are running for office want to come on and answer questions, even the ones that are the tougher ones. And we've been, if you've been listening to this show, you know, and we've had a bunch of people use this show as a place to either launch or advance a campaign. I'm proud to do that. And by the way, I'd do that on both sides of the aisle. You know, a Democrat or an unaffiliated out there in a position that matters, that wants to have a conversation about something, if I think it's important enough, I will definitely have them on. And I've asked every single one of them the same two questions. Tell me about mask mandates and vaccine mandates, and tell me about whether or not the election was stolen. And I've seen this across the state, even on people who haven't been in the show. There is for Republicans a growing concern about taking a hard position, yes or no. It's not impossible. We've had people call in, like Pam Anderson, who's running for Secretary of State, and would be a strong candidate for that. In fact, I think she's the only Republican running for it. Come in and say, no, No, it wasn't stolen. That's important for someone who's going to end up being not in charge of our elections, but being in charge of some of our election rules and laws. I just think that that is, and that's not a reflection on Jen. I just think that's a tough area to go into a race that includes any part of the metro area where you're going to have to get as many unaffiliated votes as possible and to not have a yes or no answer. I love Jan's answers. I think she's right across the board on those things. But I think that at some point you've got to commit yourself to an answer. And the worry is, man, if I do that, do I lose some of the Republican base, or do I, you know, make myself sound like a kook, or I think at some point you just have to get to the point of answering the question. I'll give you another example. The abortion issue is going to be out there, right? I mean, we've got the Supreme Court ready to deliver an opinion by next June. Doesn't have to wait till that long, probably by next June. That's going to become an issue that every single person running for every single office, probably even school board, is asked about. What's your position on abortion? What should happen in light of the Supreme Court's decision, especially if they overturn Roe versus Wade? There is not going to be any room, in my opinion, for your neighbors, my neighbors, as voters, to give one of those answers where it's like, well, you know, it's a tough one. It's a really important issue to tackle, right? And we got it. People want to know where you stand on this. Hey, I'm pro-life with exceptions for rape, incest, health of the mother, or I'm pro-life across the board, or hey, I think there ought to be abortion up until the second before that baby. People are going to want answers. And so to the extent that we're in this universe where we still try to massage and cultivate different, it makes it very, very challenging. Here, in fact, here's a text that we got. Your guess was awesome until you asked her if the election was stolen. She lost me with her answer. She talked the talk but failed to walk the walk. That is the kind of thing I expect we're going to hear. And by the way, this is no reflection on Jan. I think that you've heard that across the board. And I think that these candidates can still salvage all this. I just think you have to commit yourself to an answer. If you believe it was stolen, by God, say it. You believe abortion is wrong in every single circumstance, by God, say it. That's what people want. And frankly, whether you like him or hate him, some of what I think made Trump appealing to so many people is dude was just willing to say just about anything that was in his head, right? Doesn't have the ability to massage. He just puts it right out there. And that's refreshing for some people, right? Like, just get to it, man. Just get it out there. And so when we talk, and we'll do this a bunch, we'll have other candidates on, I will always ask those same two questions because I think those are ones that the mainstream media will try to use to beat them to death with, and I want them to get a chance to talk about it here so we can explore it in an environment where the goal isn't to try to derail their campaign. And I don't think you can say that about every news station that's out there. You can just tell by the questions they ask, the way they cover things, their goal is to be impact journalism, and that is to change the trajectory of a candidate, not to elucidate, not to make voters smarter, but to get you, you know, I'm a gotcha on this question. And I don't want to do that here on this show. 303-696-1971 is our number. Happy to have conversations with you about any of the stuff we've talked about. Chuck, all the way from beautiful Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's still in Oklahoma, isn't it, Chuck?
Yeah.
It hasn't moved.
Before I make my point, I was going to say, see, you're getting too much in the weeds, like about the election stolen and abortion and all that. Because if you watch they had a news story this morning. I don't know if you saw it about that robbery out in Chicago at that dealership in broad daylight.
I saw the video of it playing on the TV up here in the booth, but I didn't hear the sound.
Okay. Well, what happens is in the middle of the day, these guys come in and they start smashing the displays and all that. And the principal wasn't there at that time, the principal owner. And he gets called and he says his rage was just building and building. And of course, they called the cops and the news was all there and everything. And he said he gave it's almost like a speech. And he says what really set things off, what he said, enough is enough. And I'll tell you what, he says it set off an avalanche. They can't handle all the calls coming from all over the place, all over the country, saying like about this is the issue. Like nobody can stand it anymore. So like the election up in Seattle for the city attorney, this lady ran on two things. She ran against five other people. The winning issues was crime, and the other was the homelessness. It was like nothing else. It was a better campaign than what they had like in Virginia. And not only did she win, she didn't win with just the plurality, but she won with a majority against five other people.
And that's impressive. Well, Chuck, yeah, your point's well made, which is the top issues for voters out there aren't going to be the 2020 election. The COVID could be part of it. I agree with you there. But you and I both know that the folks that are going to give these people the greatest access to the most number of voters out there, mostly unaffiliated, the news outlets out there, are going to focus, maybe hyper-focus on that question because they believe, and I think the Democrats do too, that that issue becomes a bit polarizing, that that issue can tend to make you seem much more like a January 6th person in the Capitol than like any of the 1.1 jillion people on the outside of the building. And their goal is to make you seem like an extremist. And so the answer to that question feeds that narrative. So I agree with you. It is not the number one issue.
Only if you let it. That's only if you let them control the narrative.
Okay, but Chuck, if you get asked that question, if you're running for office and I ask you, how do you answer that question?
Here's what I say. Everybody has their belief, but what we're dealing with right now is the immediate situation, like with the crime. And even like with abortion, like in Texas, abortion doesn't even poll nearly as much as like the immigration and the crime and so forth. It just doesn't. And you need a strong candidate to say, look, whatever you believe is belief, but these are the issues that we have to deal with now. That's how I would handle it.
Well, Chuck, let's say you get a reporter like me. And I just pretend for a minute I'm more like Marshall Zelliger or one of the other political reporters out there. And I push hard and I say, Chuck, do you personally believe, separate from everything else you just said, do you personally believe the 2020 election was stolen?
So whatever you believe is not going to solve the problems that we have right now. I mean, you can believe what you want. Some people believe in a lot of things.
I know, but what do you believe, Chuck? What do you believe?
We're going to live or die by.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah, what do you believe? What do you think about the 2020 election?
Well, I think there are a lot of anomalies. I think, let me put it this way. I'll give you an example. What if the election was held tomorrow in Florida for governor and he loses by 10,000 votes? Do you go and say, like, we need, like, a better candidate? Like, obviously, there's something wrong, right? And it's not the candidate.
Well, and Chuck, I think that what you're talking about are legitimate issues of we need to continue to hyper focus on election integrity, right? We have to convince ourselves that our main focus is on whatever the outcome is, it's the outcome that was intended by the voters, right? And the only way to do that is to work really hard on election integrity. And if that's voter ID stuff, let's have that damn conversation. If it's cutting back on the mail-in ballots, if that's what's going to make the difference, let's have that conversation. But the issue that's going to be used to try to make somebody seem extreme from the Republican Party is to ask them straight up, do you personally believe the 2020 election was stolen? And I promise you, your answer, which is a good one, is not going to win that day for the unaffiliated voters who are like, just say it. Just say, yes, I think it was stolen, or just say, no, I don't think it was stolen, or just say, I'm not really sure. But to dance around, do you see what I'm saying, Chuck? That's what the purpose of these conversations is to get there.
It worked in Seattle. It worked in Virginia. Two out of two ain't bad.
No, that's not bad. But and again, I'm not. I guess we'll see. We'll have to see what happens in 2022.
If you let them control the narrative, you're not a good candidate. How's that?
No, I don't disagree that you have to put forward your message. I just think to arm them with a non-answer. Like if you say I'm not sure if it was stolen or not, that's a no. Most everybody on the planet Earth would consider that would be a yes, that they would consider you think it's stolen. You just don't have the guts to say it. That's how I would interpret it. If someone said, geez, I'm not really sure.
Down in the weeds because with this crime thing, I mean, this guy showed like how it just opened the floodgates. They proved it up in Seattle. This lady ran only on two things, crime and the homelessness, and she walked away with it.
I think the homeless issue, especially for Denver, is a huge one, and I think the crime one is even bigger than that, and they are related. You're right. I think the other thing that we have not yet done to explore what's happening in our metro area, and I don't know what it's like in Oklahoma. I presume your crime rate is lower than it is here.
No. You kidding me? With Tulsa, yeah. You have to put a yellow tape around the TV before you even watch it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, look, Chuck, this was a great conversation. I loved having you on. Thank you for listening. Keep calling in. Keep challenging the things that I say. And let's have that conversation. Jim from Littleton, everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971. Chuck's line is open. Stay on. We'll get you on in the next/last segment. Until then, you're listening to a guy named George Brockler. It turns out that's me. And I'm here on 710 KNUS. Best song intros in rock. AC/DC here on the George Brockler Show, 710 KNUS. Getting right back to our phone lines. You can give us a call at 303-696-1971. You can also text. I've been getting a billion of these things. If you go to the app or the website at 710KNUS.com, you go to the app. That's a very nice way to listen to this with super clear signal, regardless of where you are on the planet Earth. And then, of course, you can email us. And I think I've got my email fixed, so they're starting to roll in. Let's go right to Jim from Littleton. You're on the George Brockler Show. Jim, are you in Jeffco Littleton or Arapahoe County Littleton?
Actually, I'm in Douglas.
What?
Douglas.
Where? How is it Littleton and Douglas? Tell me which part.
Amazingly enough, they changed us over to Douglas. We're as far south as you can be in Highlands Ranch and as west as you can be.
Unbelievable.
That's now Little. We were the other way, but they changed us.
And that is that for mailing address, or are you within the confines of the city? Okay.
It's mailing, but half the time it's always comes back as Highlands Ranch, the old way, but we're Littleton now.
Are you now west, like rubbing up against Santa Fe?
Yep, we are. As a matter of fact, you can see Santa Fe from our backyard.
Okay, so you live right where me and the family were from about 2001 until 2014. That dog park that's back there, Town Center, if you go east on Santa Fe, there's a dog park there. We used to back up to that area. That is a great area. Shea Stadium over there, wonderful.
Yes, exactly.
So you didn't call in to talk about your awesome neighborhood, though, so sorry about that. Jim, what are your thoughts?
As Republicans, you know, from this last election, actually I'm no longer a registered Republican. I was disgusted with the Republican Party. But my opinion is voter integrity, election integrity is what all the way the Republicans need to say. And it's not something you proactively, you just say, I believe in election integrity. And everyone should believe in that. If you don't, what, you believe in fraud? I think Republicans, in Colorado, where I live, the big elephant is inflation. Every Republican should say, you know, we got to get this inflation under control. If you have kids in school, the mask mandate, you know, it's horrible for these kids. I mean, if you're a Republican, you should be, you know, it should be up to the schools, or it should be up to the Tri-County, the health department, of determining mask mandates. I think these are the issues that need to be going on. Crime, you're exactly right. But, you know, being in the suburbs, we're dealing with what's going on in the schools and stuff like that. I mean, we have to address those things. And Republicans need to go out. I mean, what we got going on in Colorado isn't working right now concerning COVID. We've got high numbers. We got big numbers. And yet Polis was way on top of shutting everything down. Isn't it interesting the states that were not as draconian, their numbers are really good?
You don't get that story anymore. Remember when DeSantis made the decision he made in Florida to not lock down the planet Earth, and all the stories about everyone's dying in Florida. If you travel across Florida airspace, you will die. And then all of a sudden, the numbers aren't nearly as bad as they thought. They've recovered more quick. No stories about that. They don't want to talk about that.
I know. The thing is you got to realize that for some reason, our news is actually, they like to start, they're not for what's best for Coloradoans or what's best for Americans. They seem to be only wanting to cause divisiveness. And, you know, that's,
Jim, what you're saying resonates with a lot of people, is that it is about impact journalism or outcome journalism. They're trying to change the trajectory of a candidate or impact an outcome. That should never, ever, never be a legitimate news services goal. But because of that fact that we know that exists, that's where I get you back to this issue that I talked about Chuck with. And Chuck's point was brilliant, which is you got to stay on message and you got to focus on the things that matter to people. And you've highlighted that for where you live in Highlands Ranch, that's a combination of the education piece, the mass piece, the inflation piece. But if I tried to tie you down, if I'm one of those outcome driven journalists, quote unquote journalists, and I'm like, Jim, was the 2020 election stolen? If your answer is, hey, I'm all about election integrity, there's going to be a huge number of people out there who hear, yes, I think it's stolen. I just don't have the stones to say it. Does that make sense?
But George, I would say, no, I don't believe it was stolen in Colorado.
That's an answer.
Appropriate answer.
Right, like you're
that
right there.
That would be my answer.
Yeah.
But I say nationally, I don't have an answer because these issues are still coming up. they're still coming up.
I think the answer that you gave is great in terms of, look, I know Colorado. I live here. I'm you know, well-versed in this. I've read up on it. It's something I'm confronted with the news all the time. I don't think it was stolen here. As for the rest of the country, don't know. That still leaves a little bit of wiggle room there for others to be like, well, what are you waiting on? Like, what do you think's coming out that's not there? What do you do you doubt that President Biden won the election?
That's an appropriate question in that situation. It doesn't matter. The election's over. The answer is it doesn't matter. The election's over. What do we do going forward? And I think everyone can agree, or I would say mail-in voting, we have found have been issues. Let's tighten that up.
I agree with that. You are 95% of the way there, my man. But I will tell you, that this is my sense, that some of my neighbors who are unaffiliated would listen to that answer and say, yeah, I get it, but you're not sure and you don't want to talk about it, so let's just move forward. They're going to conclude that you have doubt about whether Biden won the election. And that is only an issue, not because it's on the top of everyone's agenda, but because it is such a dang distraction, right? And I think that's what the impact outcome-driven journalists want. They want the distraction to make Jim from Littleton seem a little more fringy, a little more kooky, when really all you want to do is say, whatever happened, let's just fix elections to make sure that they have super integrity moving forward. I want to talk about inflation. I want to talk about the schools my kids go to. I want to talk about masks. I want to talk about these things. I agree with you. These are all distraction issues that Republicans are going to be beaten over the head with.
Right. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Can we ask a little bit about the crime thing? Your sense of crime in Highlands Ranch?
We're seeing more of the car thefts going on here. I mean, I pay attention to Nextdoor, that app, and you constantly are seeing stuff of car break-ins and sometimes car thefts and stuff like that, which you didn't see as much anymore. But yet, crime is not yet a big issue in Highlands Ranch, as far as I can say, from that aspect. Again, I think actually another one would be property taxes. Property taxes is a big thing out here, and I think that, with the inflation and all that, Republicans need to say, we need to get under control and make sure we're not going up every year. Because every year it's going up based on the assessment.
Well, and you get the every 2 year assessment, that's true, but property values have exploded. I told this story last week that there was a house, when I walked the dog and stuff, I passed by these houses that go for sale, and so I look at the Zillow history of them. And this one house sold like in May of 2020 for like $880, and then it just sold for like $1.4 million. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Like, did they put a swimming pool inside the house?
It's insane, George, of what they're asking for houses out here. They were under half a million, and now they're hitting close to a million. How do you explain that? Our salaries aren't going up to that. You can sell a house. Where are you going to move?
That's a great question. I really don't know. Great call, Jim. I think you've also hit upon something else that we would continue to talk about, and that is the heat map from where all of these criminals and car thieves are coming from. I think you know the answer. Look, we have just enough time to slip in Frank from Denver on 710 KNUS. Frank, how are you?
Good. I want to echo what Jim just said. I think you have to answer the question with a question. You know, how do you feel about election integrity? I think you're spot on. But the deal is, when you're talking to somebody in a different persuasion, I think you got to ask them, can we have this conversation without a yeah but? And every time I talk to my wife, who's of the opposite persuasion, and there's always a yeah but Trump or yeah but so-and-so. You can't do that. You got to talk about the issues.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. When you hear these interviews and I ask these questions, one, do you think they're fair? But two, do you think, or do you, like Chuck from Tulsa said, I don't think you need to commit yourself to that answer. Just treat it like it's in the past. Move forward on election integrity. Where do you come down on this? What do you want to hear from a candidate?
I think you're overly fair, George, but I think you come to the table with better weapons and tools of interrogation, obviously, than anybody else out there because of your years of service. And I appreciate that, and I would like it if you keep dropping little pearls for us out here in the community on that. You know, that book by the guy you referenced the other day, it doesn't hurt to ask, the guy that has a notable voice from South Carolina, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has some pearls in there. But I think that just like you took on Peter with his first question, you said, you have to look at both sides of the equation. I think that's where you're going with the way you analyze things. You're ultimately looking for the truth.
I want to know where people come down, because I feel like, look, I'm going to vote for a Republican unless there's some screaming reason not to. But there's a ton of voters out there, a growing number in Colorado, who may not just be committed to the party part. And they're going to listen to answers that are these distracting questions and say, that might be a difference maker. And I'm like, let's just get
independence, the largest party in Colorado.
That's right. And I just want to hear what people truly believe. Not
and they
the
can be influenced. I think these millennials and the younger people want the truth these days more than anything.
I think that's true. Frank, as always, thanks for listening. Thanks for the great phone call. And you're always so gracious with your comments. Thank you for that. Now, listen, we are just about out of time. I want to thank Jan Coleman for coming on. I think she did a great job on this interview. I think she is going to be a heck of a candidate out there. And we've already had Barb Kirkmeyer on, also did a nice job. Haven't had Lori Sane on or any of the others. Be happy to have the Democrats on. But I do want to have these conversations about what are going to be the mainstream media-driven assails, if you will, against these candidates. They are intended to be outcome-driven, impact-driven, not let's get to the real issues like Chuck pointed out, like Jim pointed out. There are real issues that are plaguing people, and it isn't the 2020 election. It's just unfortunate that we are continuing to have to confront this at the political level. I wanted to talk a little bit more about crime and what I'm going to call the heat map that we need to get to find out how much of Denver's cruddy decisions on public safety spill over into Adams and Jeffco and Arapahoe and Douglas. We'll get to that in another couple of days. Listen, Geronimo, thanks behind the glass. Stay tuned for Stefan at 3 to whenever. Otherwise, George Brocker, 710 KNUS.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.